This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get reward points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required, points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Stefan Schindler has a chance to write his name in Huddersfield Town legend. And he takes that chance!
So you might have heard there's a game on Saturday. But yeah, we're not really going to talk much about it. It's the warm-up episode 137. It's your host, Brady Frost. I'm joined by Reach's EFL editor for Yorkshire, Mr. Dom Howson. Dom, how are you doing?
I'm very good. Like you guys, I'd love to say I'm really excited about the next fixture, but that would be a gigantic lie. It is the one that I think Town just need to get out of the way and then crack on with the final 11 matches of the season.
Definitely. We're not going to spend the next 40 minutes or so talking about it, but let's see. I think we're all slightly a bit of trepidation, shall we say. You'd notice I didn't go to Tom Bradshaw first, but I'm going to go to him now, the evening doodler, as he's dubbing himself at the moment. Tom, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm not bad, mate. I'm totally echoing Dom's thoughts there. I just want to almost forget it and just wake up and be like, oh yeah, we lost 3-0. Let's get those 11 games won and stay up. Great start to this podcast.
Yeah. Come on, lads. We're going to have to G up the listeners. Otherwise, what's the point? Come on. I'll do it then. Right. Let's get stuck in. It's Andrew Brighton, right? His first home game this weekend against the boys from Beeston, Leeds United, a team that hasn't lost in 2024. And has won 9 league games in a row, the second in the League Two currently. I said I'd G you up. It's his first home game. Who knows what happens? It's a derby. Who knows what's going to happen? Anything could happen. That's why we love it, football. But, Dom, doing a Frank Lampard transition there. It's a bit of a tough ask for a new manager, isn't it, this fixture?
It is, but do you know what? When we're looking for sort of green shoots of recovery right now, what could play into Town's hands is the fact that Leeds play Chelsea on the Wednesday. And so they will make changes for that. They've got a few injury issues. I've unfortunately seen quite a lot of Leeds in the last couple of months. So I'm very aware of what their strengths and weaknesses are. And at the moment, I have to say, there aren't a lot of weaknesses. They do frighten me quite a bit. But yeah, the fact that Town have had the entire week, and I think that's what's going to be great for Brighton Writer, is that he has just been able to focus for the first time on getting to know the players as much as anything, you know, and actually work with them on the training ground. And so, hopefully Town might be able to, you know, spring a bit of a surprise. And I think we just all don't want Town to get disgraced in front of the cameras as well. And I think if they can not concede early, you know, I think that it's about trying to just sort of keep it tight as long as they possibly can. You know, Leeds are beatable. I mean, I know they're on a phenomenal run at the minute, and there's a lot riding on it for them on Saturday because they're going for a club record of 10 straight league wins. But we have seen that Town have got the quality. And if you actually look at home, they've taken, draws, Ipswich, Southampton. I know under different, you know, under Darren Moore at the time. So they have actually raised the game against some of the big boys this season. So, yeah, that's where I'm looking at. I think there are some positives for Town, but I think if we're realistic, I still expect Leeds will come out on top. But hopefully it'll be close.
Mm. And you, like you say, you've had the unfortunate... unfortunately, you've had to watch Leeds a fair bit. Do you think, you know, we talked about how positive and kind of, you know, fresh it was to see John Worthington go at Southampton away, and now they ended up losing that game 5-3. Do you think a similar approach might be best against Leeds? Like you say, although they don't have a lot of weaknesses, you know, maybe it's better going toe-to-toe for them rather than like setting up in a low block?
I think what we've learned in like the last week or so since Brighton Wrighter was appointed is that when it comes to his style of play, is that in the long run, he wants them to play on the front foot and be aggressive and have that intensity, really go after teams. I'm going to suggest not doing that against Leeds United after what happened at Elland Road. And I think the team selection is going to be crucial. We might reflect a little bit on the Watford match. Amazing for Tom Edwards to come on, making, you know, an impact, get an assist. But he was torn apart at Elland Road. And in a back four, he can't play in a back four against Leeds United if Somerville is fit for Leeds. There is a bit of a doubt at the moment. So, I think that's where you'd like to hope that Brighton Wrighter, his staff, they will have done their homework. And no doubt they'll be watching the Chelsea match too to see how many of like the regular starters play for Leeds. And so I think they'll be really thorough and be prepared, you know, to expect. And of course, like the crowd, that's the you know, where Town, they've got to use the crowd to their advantage. And you don't want to be completely passive. But you still, at the same time, have to show Leeds a level of respect because they've got the best front four in the league. They have, where they can just open you up and hurt you, even if one of them or two of them look like they're off it. And that was the case last week when they played Leicester. They've blown the title race wide open by getting that result. So there's a lot riding on it for Leeds as well as Town. The incentive for Town, though, is we know that if they can get the win, you know, they play first before everybody. You know, if they can get any sort of result, it's then the pressure that it's going to put on all the other teams down there. And that's why it's fascinating since the managerial change at Town and then to start so well as they did at Watford, going to, you know, entertain the juggernaut of the Championship right now. And Sky will be licking their lips, really, at the fact that they've got this one on the telly at the weekend.
Mm, definitely. And Tom, I suppose to get your perspective on this, what are you kind of expecting from the encounter? I know I kind of did a joke tweet about the other day, but there's a lot of online discourse, shall we say, heading up into this one. Maybe not helped by what our chairman tweeted, which we'll come on to later in the pod. But are you worried, excited? You know, like I say, Brighton Wrighter's first home game. You'd expect a little bit of a boost from that as well. You know, TV.
Yeah.
There is the classic of some players up their game when they're live on Sky. But what are you thinking?
I think that the main worry for me is not kind of how good Leeds have been in an attacking sense in these last few games, but I think they've only conceded one goal in the last six, which is very impressive, and that is the more worry for me, is like they seem to really have limited teams to chances in these last few games, kept possession really well, and it's like you've got to then take those chances. But someone came on last Saturday and did take his chances. I think, what did he have, maybe two or three shots, and he scored two of them. So if Town can get the ball in the right places and nick one and then be really solid, There was good signs from Watford, wasn't there? But it's like the thing that a team like Leeds are going to do and take advantage of is when your heads go. And when straight after Town conceded that first goal, a lot of the players, I don't know what happened. It was a pretty mad kind of 10 minutes where Watford were getting in the box a lot. Tom Ince could have had a couple. And you that quality falls to some of those lads up front for Leeds, and they're going straight in, and you're looking at a 3 or 4 nil kind of again. So I think it's one of those where it might be more about mentality and just being a bit more sensible on Saturday more than anything. And as Dom touches on it, I'm sure it'll be quite a big rowdy crowd there. So yeah, you've got to take that into consideration as well. Maybe make sure you don't go over the top, things like that.
Yeah. I mean, something I just wanted to actually ask you, Tom, is, you know, we, with hindsight now, and we kind of said it at the time, but not as much as I'm reluctant to go back to that 4-1 defeat at Elland Road. That was good, especially in person. But I think that kind of did it for a lot of people for Darren Moore. Similar, different circumstances, of course, but are you worried if this is a bad result? You know, it's not the start Brighton Wright would want, but do you think the fans might be a bit more forgiving, potentially?
Yeah, I think so. I think the problem with that performance at Elland Road was after literally the first 15 minutes, everyone could see what the problems were and how Leeds were hurting town. And then the first goal went in and you're like, right, come on, it's happened now. Let's sort this out a bit. Then the second, the third and the fourth going, you get to half time and you're kind of scratching your head like, what? How have you not? I think that was the problem with that performance was everyone else in the ground could see it. Al couldn't as manager. And then he did change at half time and we shored it up and we actually had a semi-decent second half against them, even though they probably took the foot off the gas a bit. But do you know what I mean? So I think one positive I really took from last Saturday as well was Brighton Wright saw the kind of changes that Ishmael made. I mean, Ishmael made, who makes, I haven't seen that for ages, of him dragging off two players in the first 20 minutes. But like that really kind of gave Watford a bit more. And Brighton Wright then also changed the formation, didn't he, as well? So I kind of like that. I like that about him. He seems to make quite strong decisions in the match. So I think, yeah, bred it. Look, if Town end up getting smashed 3-0, but there's actually some signs of an identity. And I always go back to when Wagner first came, and I think, was it Wednesday away, maybe, where we ended up losing. But I remember being stood there with all the fans and everyone being like, look at that. They're going for it. They're getting stuck in. They're putting the press on, and people were just happy to see that because we had managers before who were just very conservative, losing games 1-0, but not really showing anything. So I think as long as there's that kind of aggression there and Town fans can see that the lads have gone out there and tried their best, then I don't think there's going to be too many disappointed people, even if we lose.
Town season isn't going to be defined by Leeds. And like the reality is that Town will not deserve to stay up if they can't get as close as possible to the 52 point mark. You know, I think if Town get 4 wins, 3 draws, I think they stay up. And you look at the home matches that they've still got to come. They are against, you know, they've got some good ones in Swansea, Birmingham and Millwall. And you've got Rotherham away. You know, they've got to be targeting like points in those matches. They have to be. You know, that's where, you know, survival is going to be determined. And if they can't, then they're going to go down. And they could find themselves in the bottom three after the weekend. But, you know, we were chatting before, you know, we started recording on the podcast. So we were, you know, we're saying is that there are a lot of teams that have been dragged into it. They're not out of it. And so there are going to be, I'm sure, plenty of twists and turns like over the coming weeks and months. And so, yeah, I think for Town, if they can put in a sort of a spirited performance, and, you know, as Tom was saying there, I agree with him. I just think that if Town can come away with the head held high, build on it, and then try to get, I think they've got to try and get just a win from the week. I'd be satisfied with that. You know, I think Matt and Cosy, you know, the boys the other day were saying the same, and I agree with them really, that I'd take 3 points from this week. It's not, you know, it's not easy. You know, when you're playing two teams in the top six and then Cardiff away on a, you know, midweek, you know, one of the longer trips, Yeah, I think if Town could get anything more than 3 points, that should be seen as a great week for me.
Mm. And Dom, I was going to ask, because obviously first time we've had you on the pod since Andrew Brighton Wright has been appointed. What do you make to the appointment? Obviously, we've only seen one game, but encouraging to, you know, come from behind to win. That's the first time Town have done that all season as well, actually.
Not going to lie, my initial reaction was that I couldn't believe that Kevin Nagle and Town's board had taken such a risky appointment. You know, when you're thinking that the season is on a knife edge and they've gone abroad, you know, after it didn't work with Darren Moore. But I've sort of come round to, you know, like the conclusion that as long as Town stay up this season, then... I think it could be really exciting. The summer, it could be. And I think that it's one of those where he's got to be given time to implement his ideas. We're all hoping this appointment is going to be more David Wagner than Jan Seert. With every managerial appointment, whether they've gone for another British manager, you know, I was saying that, you know, I think Paul Heckingbottom might have been a good fit, or John Eustace when he was available at the time. But Town have gone in a different direction. And, you know, it's the first time that Nagle's gone abroad. And he's gone from, like, Neil Warnock, tried and tested. We know what he brings. Darren Moore, who had worked and built his CV up. And then you look at Brighton Wright's track record. You know, you can't not be impressed. And do you know what? The thing that stood out for me too is that, you know, when Town had made the appointment, you know, I'd read quite a few things saying that, you know, his English might be a bit of a work in progress. But then you hear his interviews, and I think he comes across really well. And his English is already at a very good level, and it won't improve too. So again, in terms of communication side, that's so important. You know, he's going to get his messages across to the group. So, yeah, I think that's where I sit, really, where as long as Town stay up, I think it could be, you know, exciting times. It could come back. But, yeah, it's 12-game season, isn't it? And it's difficult for him as well. You know, I've got a lot of sympathy. You know, it's great that he's been able to bring his own staff in. He can't bring in players. He's got to work with this squad and try and get a tune out of these players, and so that's where there is the, you know, the riskiness in the appointment. But he couldn't have got off to a better start, you know, and I think he needed that, as well as there would have been other Huddersfield fans out there like me, who I'm sure would have had similar thoughts of where we're unsure here, and, you know, feeling that Kevin Nagle had rolled the dice. And so, yeah, you know, only time's going to tell, but I mean, he's made a perfect start. And then, yeah, you know, write himself in Town folklore if he can get a result against Leeds.
Absolutely. Well, let's certainly hope so. You mentioned Leeds. I suppose we need to get this out of the way, Tom, because it's the same bloke you spoke to for the game earlier in the season for the fan phone. He predicted 4-0. He wasn't far off. Who did you speak to then, Tom? Tell us all.
Yeah, I had a quick chat with Tom Johnson, who hopefully doesn't get his prediction as close as he did earlier in the season. And here it is.
Hello, this is Tom Bradshaw, and you're listening to the Fan Phone-In. Hello, caller. Tell us about your team.
Hiya, Tom, mate. Thanks for coming on again. Tell us how Leeds are performing at the moment.
If I'm being honest with you, on Friday night, yes, it was a brilliant result. I actually thought we were pretty poor. Start the second half, but if you go back over the last 8-9 games, obviously we've won every single one of them. So we are hitting top form. Obviously the energy we've took out on Friday night, and then obviously got Chelsea on Wednesday night in the Cup, depending on what kind of team we put out there. He's going to need to rest some players. There's been a lot of workload into these players. They're going to need a rest, but we are possibly in our best form of the season so far.
Who's the standout players for Leeds at the moment?
In terms of standout players, Georgina Ruta is getting better and better as the season goes on. He's creating many, many chances. And if I'm being honest, you don't know what he's going to do with the ball. I don't think he does. If he could add a couple more goals, then yeah, you can easily see why we paid the sum we did last January for him. Obviously, Crescencio Somerville is our top scorer, 16 goals this year. Patrick Bamford has had a really good 2024 so far. He's got 5 goals, 7 games. If he's going to be fit, obviously, he's just got to be careful with his injuries. But yeah, I'd say those three are the ones at the minute.
How impressed are you with Farke's regime, and where does it rank in terms of the kind of recent managers you've had at Leeds?
In terms of Farke and our recent managers, obviously last season we're right off Jesse Marsh, Javi Gracia, Big Sam. Yeah, he's miles above any of them. If you talk about Bielsa and Farke, Bielsa obviously edges it as he changed the complete culture and style of our club. And he won the league. If Farke wins the league, or even just gets his promotion, is he up there? Probably. He's got the same kind of feel-good factor, so I'd say he's below Bielsa, but he's got the chance, depending on what he does with this club and this team, to go even further.
Well, off the back of that, and with the obviously brilliant recent run of form that you're on, are you now eyeing up automatic promotion?
I suppose the promotion is the million-dollar question. As it stands, if we keep playing how we play, yes, I would be confident. Ipswich worries me, as their running is possibly the easiest out of the top four. Our next four games are the ones where we can't really afford to drop points. We're playing teams in the bottom third of the league in our next four games, I believe. So we'd be looking for 12 points there, is what I'd be thinking. And then towards the end, we've got Southampton, Hull, Borough, who are all likely to cause us problems. But yeah, as it stands, I'd say 60% in my head.
And finally, hopefully you're not as close as you were last time. What's your prediction for Saturday?
Saturday. So the last time I did this for you guys, I was one goal off. Went 4-0, I think. So I just think with us playing Wednesday night and then the early kick-off Saturday, that extra bit of rest for you guys, I still think we'll beat you. And I think I'll go possibly 2-0. One early goal and then one very, very late goal to kill it off, maybe like 91st, 94th minute, something like that.
There we go. Yeah. Very positive, very positive. Very positive stuff. I mean, that he is eyeing those automatics now, Brady. What a position to be in, eh?
Yeah, be us next season, mate. Don't you worry. In League One. No, in the Championship, of course. Let's move on to Kwana's question, because I think it's a fairly interesting one this week.
A few things change, but also a lot of things are still the same.
Okay, so the question we asked was, you may have seen after that win against Watford that our chairman did a little tweet that annoyed, you could say, some of the Leeds fans. So our question this week was, for you all, would you prefer quiet from the chairman and the Huddersfield Town fan base in the build-up to the Leeds game, or are you happy for the back and forth? So I'm going to read some of the listener responses, and then I'll come to Dom, Tom, and you'll hear from myself. Jonathan Ford, he says, I'd just stay quiet, honestly, just let our tactics and plan do the talking on Saturday. Nick Barlow says, it's all part of the theatre that comes with a derby. I'm more than happy to see some banter between fans and for the chairman to be vocal on social media. It's just boring otherwise. If Kev never posted, fans would have known about that as well. Huddersfield Town 1908 says, I've always taught that pride becomes for a fall. Concentrate on ourselves. And I've cut out what he said there because I don't think we should really mention that on a podcast. Marco4J says, this one's a foregone conclusion anyway. Why not kick the hornet's nest a bit and see if a few of them don't melt? Might as well enjoy some of it. When the time comes that it's more level playing field, I'd rather focus on the game. Tom, what do you make of it all?
To be fair, that last one's not a terrible assessment of the situation, in my opinion, Brady. Yeah, like, look, I think Town fans can realistically hold their hands up and say, yeah, we're nowhere near the level of Leeds at the moment. We're probably not going to win the game. So, yeah, is the only fun we're going to get out of it potentially just trying to wind up some Leeds fans on social media, I guess. But yeah, coming from the chairman, I don't know. It's very like kind of it's very like a kid going to their first away game and getting a bit excited about it. Do you know what I mean? Like, fair play. I mean, they're obviously trying to embrace the kind of English football culture, maybe. But yeah, sometimes it's like maybe just take a step back before you press send.
Yeah. Dom, what are your thoughts on it all?
It's Leeds United's team talk sorted already. And they had something similar for Leicester before, where you know Enzo Maresco tried doing a bit of mind games last week, saying that it's way more important for Leeds to win. And I just don't think there's any need. And unfortunately, it's not the first time that we've seen that from Town's owner, where he just can't help himself but go on social media to express his opinions. And I know some people find it refreshing. I quite like his video blogs that he does with Dave. I've got no objections with a lot of what gets said there. Well, I do actually, because again, I think there's some stuff that should probably be kept in-house. But he wants to be open and transparent and upfront and honest. And in some ways, I like that. But I just wouldn't do it. I just wouldn't do it the week before, you know, for Huddersfield, a lot of Huddersfield fans, you know, already dreading this week. And then, you know, your owner says, it puts that out on social media. That then gets picked up by Leeds fans and, you know, Leeds, the club will be well aware of it. What's going to get discussed at Daniel Farke's pre-match press conference? Oh, I've got a funny feeling that might get brought up there as well. So you're just giving them more motivation. And the reality is that Leeds have got superior players to Huddersfield Town. So if they turn up, they will win on Saturday. And so I don't think it's particularly professional either, really. You know, and that's where I just feel as if it's sometimes just best to stay silent. You know, there is a reason why there aren't other owners in the Championship that are on social media and have their own accounts, that, you know, and that's because, you know, you will get more criticism than praise. I don't really see what you're going to gain there from, you know, putting statements out or, you know, I think if you want to do that, I just go through the club's channels. That's what I would do personally, rather than, you know, to him in his head, he's doing it as he's thinking this is a great way to interact and, you know, get to know the town public. And he has been in the job less than a year. But I just, for me, it's an absolute no-no. I just wouldn't do it.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, like, you know, with some of the Kevin Nagel stuff, I think, you know, he's the chairman. He can do what he likes in some respects. And I agree with you, Dom. I think some of the videos are really nice. And I do think he's a lot more open than most chairmen are. And there are pros and cons to that. But I've got to be honest, my immediate thoughts when I saw that tweet, I was like, oh, great. Brighton Wright have got a first win in charge. We've come back from behind. That's a really positive start, blah, blah, blah. And then I saw that and I saw all the Leeds fans kicking off. And I just thought, oh, for God's sake, just like we don't need this right now. And I think that's the thing. That's kind of how I still feel about it. It's like you say, you're talking about ammunition and, you know, that's their team talk sorted, Leeds United. I'm of the same, like, don't give them an extra incentive, you know. Yeah. I just
it's poking the bear necessarily, you know. Just don't do it.
Yeah,
not when they're bigger, stronger, and better than you are. And that's just, you know, right? If you were, you know, the team that are second and were absolutely flying like they are, then fair enough. Yeah, you probably can take sort of the moral high ground, and you know. But I just think, I would have just left it out. If you're going to say anything, well done, Brighton Writer, great win. Let's build on it, you know, and then some of the cliche stuff that you'd expect, you know, a chairman to come out with. But that's the beauty, I suppose, of Kevin Nagel, is that he doesn't do that and he just tells it as it is. And again, I think that's why a lot of Huddersfield fans will love that.
It's not boring, is it?
No, It's not. And as someone who has to do a podcast every week, thank you, Kevin, because we always have something to talk about. So great for content, not great for vibes and feeling, maybe, for me. But I'm a bit of a warrior with stuff like that. Tell you what, chaps, we'll head to halftime here. And while we do, if you are off to the game on Saturday, like myself, might see it at Magic Rock Tap Room. But if not, if you want some beers before then, don't forget you can use our code AHTTC10 at magicrockbrewing.com and you get 10% off any online orders. And if you're watching on YouTube, you'll see the little ticker at the bottom that tells you what to do. So, yeah, get it used. Right, we're going to come back and we're going to talk a little bit more about Huddersfield Town women, and what we think the score will be.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cozzy, what's your favourite away day?
Matt, it's got to be the City Ground at Nottingham. Just old school stadium, right near the pitch. Great atmosphere. But there's nothing like playing at home. Same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You win. Order now on the McDonald's app.
At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Okay, chaps. So this is completely my fault, but I forgot to include Beth Stanfield, the Huddersfield Town captain's voice note that she did for us. So I'm going to play that for her now because they've not actually played since then.
Hello, you all right? Yeah, let's just get straight into it then. So I think the last game we went up to was just before Christmas, wasn't it? So we had Stourbridge away. I didn't play that game, but we lost that 3-2. So obviously that was a bit gutting to lose that. I think it was 0-0 at half time. And I think we had a bit of a change right before kickoff. The keeper got injured and Liv, one of the defenders, had to go in goal. So that really kind of threw the plans out the window. And to be fair, she did really well to put herself forward and go in net. But obviously then you're at such a disadvantage not having like a proper keeper in net for that game. So, yeah, we're unfortunate that happened and that we lost that game. But, yeah, and then we had a Christmas break and then back after Christmas. So this was my first game back as well. We had Stoke at home and we won that 2-1. That was a really good performance from everyone. It was really gritty and like everyone just worked the socks off really to get that win. We went in at half time 1-1 and we did feel like, you know, we were the better team and we had the beating of them, and then managed to get the winning goal, and for the last maybe 15 minutes or so we were kind of just clinging on, but we did well to see that one out and get 3 points on the board. So, yeah, that was a really good win for us. Then we had a County Cup game a couple of weeks after that against Rossington, which we won 10-0, I think. So, yeah, obviously continuing on in the County Cup. And then we had another cup game against Halifax. That was the League Cup. That was a disappointing game, to be honest. Not only the fact that we lost, but just the way our performance wasn't very good. Probably not up to standards we expect. And it's always worse to kind of, like, we were winning at half-time, so then to go on and lose the game was gutting as well. But, yeah, we didn't really create anything in the second half, and we just really struggled to keep hold of the ball. And Halifax, obviously, because they were losing, were throwing everything at us, so... Yeah, that was gutting because we'd done quite well in that competition the last few seasons. So to go out at that stage was, not great. But we've got them again soon in the league, so hopefully we can put that right. And then we just had Derby, which unfortunately again we lost 3-1. But although the result wasn't very good, our performance was much better. So the first half, we were pretty unlucky to go in 1-0 down, to be honest. We really pressed them and really caused them a lot of problems at the back. And we had a couple of big chances that we probably should have scored. And then we've just been undone by kind of a long ball, a bit of a miscommunication at the back, which has led to them having an open goal to score in, to be honest. So, yeah, a bit annoying that we went in 1-0 down, considering like our performance and chances that we had. But then we did get it back to 1-1, Kaz, with a great finish. And then Derby kind of changed their approach in the second half. So they stopped kind of playing out from the back and they started to go a bit more direct into their wingers, who were very fast. And they just kind of kept doing that. And eventually they scored two goals very quickly again. So after that, it was very difficult to get back into the game, to be honest. But yeah, we can take positives out of that moving forward. I think we've got a County Cup game this weekend coming at home, I believe. And then we've got Halifax in the league on Thursday, the 22nd of February. So it should be a good game, that. So if you can get down and support, that'd be great. I'm sure there'll be more kind of information on our socials and stuff. So yeah, obviously, I think there's maybe 10 games left of the season. So massive, massive test for us at the moment. So yeah, we just got to keep going and try and pick up points where we can. But yeah.
And there we go. Thanks to Beth. Yeah, also, if anyone does fancy, the next game is West Brom Women at the Staffex Arena. That's in Stores Hall. It's on Sunday at 2 o'clock, so it doesn't clash with Town's game. £6 for adults, £4 for concessions, and under 16 free. The battling relegation at the moment, so I think any support would be appreciated, and if you can get yourself along to that, do so. And there were also congratulations to them for reaching the County Cup final against Doncaster Rover Bells. Date's not been announced for that yet, but I'm going to try and get along to that, support the Town. Not often we get to see Town in the top cup final, is it, Tom?
No, and that I think West Brom are the team above them in the league, Brady, so yeah, big game.
Well, best of luck to Town Women on Sunday. Right, okay, we're going to come back onto the game and talk about the manager, because we did a little poll before we were recording, which was, are you confident Town will stay up with Andre Breitenreiter in charge? Extra points if you explain your reason. So again, I'll read out some comments, but we had 526 votes on a poll that I remembered to do about a couple of hours before we were recording. 82.9% said yes, 2.1% said no, 14.4% said not sure. And some of the comments, Mark Harrison, he seems to have a good track record of going in and having an immediate effect. That little bit of tactical acumen is there to get the best from what's available to turn draws into wins. Very confident he can keep us up comfortably. Andy Moore says, confident he will get the best out of the squad with some detailed game management, although I think we will get tonked a few times playing open football. Aussie Terrier, Andre has a clear plan. He obviously hasn't come in and tried to change too much at once. Can obviously pick and time his subs to great effect. I think fitness will improve. Can't wait for him to sign at the end of the summer. Matos on loan for another season would be a great start. And I'll read last one from Steve B, who says, I feel more confident than pre-Worthington. Andre appears to be the man with a plan. Comes across very well too. Gents, very confident from the Town fans there. But what are your thoughts? Dom, you were a little unsure of the appointment, but now you're kind of, you know, maybe a bit more encouraged from what you've seen. So I'll come to you. Do you think they'll stay up with him in charge?
I think they will. But if you're then asking me, who do I think of the three teams that are going to go down, other than Rotherham, I'm struggling with the other two. Sheffield Wednesday are in great form. Every time you think QPR and maybe hitting a sticky patch, they then seem to get a result out of nowhere. Millwall in Neil Harris's first match in charge, in his second spell going back there and getting a win at Southampton. That's where it's just such a crazy division, and we've come to expect that just all the time, haven't we? From the Championship. I feel like Town should have enough, though. I do. I think that they will have only themselves to blame if they're relegated now. They brought four players in January, and really, it's only been Matos so far, hasn't it, who has sort of stepped up, and we're starting to see, you know, the two strikers that we were wanting and craving have come in. You know, one of them might be injured and miss the rest of the season. And then the other forward is an unused sub on the bench last week. So, yeah, but, you know, I think on the subs, that's where, going back to, you know, the message that you read out there, Brady, is that, yeah, Brighton Rice has certainly swung things like Town's way with his subs last week, with, you know, Danny Ward coming on and getting two, and Edwards having a hand in the goal. So, yeah, that shouldn't be underestimated. And he's a very experienced boss. And you'd like to think that there'll be another couple of matches this season where tactically he make changes, either in formation or personnel, that will then, you know, lead to Town getting some crucial points on the board.
Here's open. Tom, what about yourself? I suppose we're going to have plenty more time to talk about this and change your opinion before and against, but how are you feeling in the moment right now?
Yeah, I think Dom's touched on it, and it comes down to who do you think is maybe going to take those three spots. I think Stoke are in a lot of trouble, aren't they, at the moment? But then I think it is quite open. So it's that target, isn't it, of, what do you think, 47 to 50, if you're in that kind of bracket there, you're probably going to be looking like you're okay. It's so tight, though. It's like the, I mean, that anyone could get dragged into it now, I think. Like, I feel like it is going to be, if you're above 45 points, you're probably going to be okay. So I still think from Plymouth down, it's kind of any of those teams could potentially drop into it. But yeah, I think there's something there. I mean, the fact that, was that our first win after going behind this season? And it's his first game. Like, that's not a bad stat to have, is it? I know Watford are in a bit of on a very bad run themselves. It's going to be very interesting to play Leeds coming up next, because I think Watford maybe were second bottom of the form table, potentially third bottom of the form table when we played them, and now we're playing top of the form table. So massive contrast there, but I think it's really going to maybe show us where he is at. And I think if we see a performance more than anything, then I'll be pretty confident that he can keep us up, Brady. Yeah.
Watford was Town's first away win since the end of November too, so it was crucial from that perspective that they got back to winning ways, you know, on the travels. And you know, you're looking at, I mean, that Rotherham match before the international break, depending on how it goes over the next week, you know, that could be absolutely enormous, you know, in the context of the season. We all hope it isn't, and if Town have a good week, then again it will take a bit of pressure going off. And by that point, I mean, Rotherham, I think, have won three times all season. They haven't won in 10. It'll be a banana skin. But I mean, if you can't go to Rotherham and win, then, you know, you probably are in trouble. And again, it falls into that category of you don't deserve to stay up, really, as they're the only team that have been cut adrift. But yeah, I mean, like for Town as well, they've got positive news when you look at like the team selection. You know, you would expect Sauber Thomas will be back for Leeds, so he comes straight in, so that will strengthen them going forwards. The top scorer, he should be back very soon as well. And then you've got, you know, Borker might be available, and so that. Yeah, there's still players in the treatment room as well for Town. So that, I think, gives them encouragement as well for the run-in.
Yeah. I think I said to you guys before we recorded, I think even it wasn't great under Darren Moore, and I think now that we've had a bit of distance, you can... It's a shame, because I think, Tom, you'd agree, we kind of wanted things to work out for Darren Moore, but I think what's kind of more damning is John Worthington's come in and you've seen such an impact, and, you know, Andrew Brighton, yes, only one game, but kind of carried on. So I think that looks worse, but it is the draws. You know, the draws for me show, even when maybe we didn't have the right manager, that we're not a million miles off. And I do look at some of the fixtures, you know, like Cardiff coming up, that's quite a big game. They've not really been scoring much at home. Do they have a lot to play for? Again, that Rotherham game you touched on, Dom, it's massive. And I do think, although, yes, like Sheffield Wednesday flying at the moment, you know, it's still 5 points, you know, before the Leeds game that they have to claw above us, and three positions. I think, look, there's going to be a lot of changes between now and the end of the season. I just, famous last words, this is the least worried I've maybe felt about Town, just because before I felt it was a team, you know, particularly before Warnock came in last season, I just felt it was a team that couldn't really give more. Whereas I think what I've kind of thought under Darren Moore is that there was a team that could give more, and for whatever reason, it just wasn't working out. And I think we've seen that with John Worthington, and, you know, hopefully carries on with Andre Bryan, right? So, yeah, I don't know. I just think, looking at all the other teams, I know you made the point that Neil Harris is back and Millwall got a kind of positive performance at the weekend, but I still, you know, is that going to last forever? Stoke, I think they're in real trouble. You touched on them, Tom. QPR, again, we don't know what's going on with the last chair. He could be suspended. You know, he's got that suspended jail sentence, but he could potentially be gone. And yeah, I just, famous last words, I just think Town are looking up more than maybe looking down than they have for the season. But we will see. Ask me how I feel about 3 o'clock on Saturday. But yeah, Dom, I suppose I'll ask you with this then. You said you've watched these a little bit, but there isn't many weaknesses. But how do you think Town could get some joy from this? Or do you think it's more about, like Tom mentioned, the performance, if we see a performance in this one?
I think the position that they've got to target is left back for Leeds. Junior Firpo has been much improved in the last couple of months, but defensively, he's not the best. And so that's where I think that Sorba Thomas could have some joy there, and Josh Caroma, you know, potentially would maybe sort of move over to that side as well. And I think that, yeah, that would be the weakest link, I would say, in Leeds' defence. But then Tom did say it before that they've got the best defensive record this year. I think they've only conceded once so far, or twice in the Championship. So, yeah, it's been ridiculous, really. That, you know, they've had a settled team, and they've even got Archie Gray, who is probably one of the brightest young talents outside of the Premier League. He's playing out of position at right back, but looks like he's played there for years. I think for Town as well, it's just, can they hold their own in midfield up against, it will probably be Ilya Groove and Glenn Kamara. You know, Groove is, he can just run a midfield. He can just dictate it. He's got really silky left foot, and he can just, you know, spray passes from side to side. So they can't give him room. You just can't let him get on the ball and dominate. And that's where you need Matos going flying in. But at the same time, Town have to try and keep the discipline, right, in the heat of battle, because that's it. I mean, lunchtime kickoff, it's not going to be a sleepy lunchtime kickoff that sometimes you'd see in the Premier League. There's going to be a huge crowd there. You'd like to think there'd be a great atmosphere. Brighton Wright will get introduced to the crowd before kickoff. He'll get a good ovation. And so Town have to play on that, but they have to keep their emotions in check and keep the cool one. And I think if they do that, there's no reason why they can't give a good account of themselves. However, I do keep going back to the front four, and they could rotate it. It's just frightening. You know, the reality is the options Leeds have got on the bench, they would get into, those players would get into most teams or a lot of teams in the Championship, including Town. And so, can Town nullify and keep Dan James, Somerville, Jorginho Ruta, who is a Premier League player for me, Somerville arguably is as well. You know, like their numbers, their goals and assists are incredible. And then they've got Pirou that they spent 12 million on in the summer. He's got double figures. And Bamford has rediscovered a bit of form. So I pretty much listed most of the team there. But yeah, I'd say it's left back. That, and after a long week, you know, that Leeds will have had from travelling to Chelsea, and, you know, it'd be great if that went to extra time and penalties, and you know, it's get them really knackered before they come to the John Smiths. That'd be great. And then, you know, Town could, you know, potentially look to cash in.
It's open. Tom, I suppose there's a few, you know, we don't know the injury news and stuff like that. And we obviously we used to do pick your 11. I'm not going to ask you to do that, but are there any changes you'd do for this one? You know, question marks about Hoggy, you know, sort of like Dom said, Sorba Thomas hopefully should be back for this one. Is there anything you'd do or maybe like to see?
Yeah, Sorba being back is going to be key, because I think if we're going to get any chances, it's probably going to be coming from mainly any set pieces we pick up, like the big chances potentially. So if we can get Sorba back in, that'd be brilliant. I mean, if Helic is fit as well, what a boost that'd be. I mean, it sounded like he was reasonably close-ish, but I mean, I think it might be a big ask. I think Bolka was just ill, wasn't he, the other on Saturday. So, I mean, I quite like the look of him as well. I mean, it's going to be so key that we just limit them to basically getting in our box, because whenever I've seen them play, they're just so dangerous when they just piling forward and they get it, the ball in the box, and it's so hard to defend against. But if we can limit their kind of touches in and around our area, then you are going to have some success. But it's a lot to ask because it's so intense. But yeah, I think Matos is such a big player for this game, and Dom's right there. If he can. It's one of those, he's getting stuck in early, but he's getting stuck in where he's not picking up a yellow in the first 10 minutes kind of thing, because I really like him and what a signing he's been. And I think if we can kind of win that midfield, you're almost winning half the battle, in the sense that just stopping that progression starting where then they get forward and they're looking really dangerous. But yeah, I mean, if we can get Helic and Sorba back, Brady, Blumenek, what a boost that would be going into this game.
It's not going to happen, but I would actually leave out Jonathan Hogg. And if Sorba's available and he sticks with, say, like a 3-5-2, if we're thinking that that's the formation at the minute that he's happy with, and then I'd have Sorba at right wing back, and I'd be moving Kasumu into midfield. And then that's the energy and legs there. Kasumu, Matos and Radone, that's where I could see Town could potentially outnumber Leeds, and that's where from the week that they've had, you know, maybe they could get the upper hand. But I don't think that, can you leave Hoggy out for this? I'm not sure that Brian Wrighter will do that. And then they've got a decision to make over Danny Ward as well. Like, Danny Ward's got 2 goals, so does he now come in to start? But then who's he come in for? Bergzorg or Caroma? So these are like good problems to have if you're Brighton, right? So, you know, going into, one of, if not the biggest match of the season in many, like, Town eyes.
Yeah. I think I think that's a really good point, Dom. That's what I'd do. Hoggy obviously had to come off and get us Watford, I think, at the hour mark. So, you know, if he's not 100%, I would be tempted to do that. And I know Jonathan Hogg is, is a bit difficult to leave him out, but I suppose that's how you'd sell it to him potentially if he's not fully fit. I agree with what you were saying, Tom, though. You know, Leeds, that front four that we keep talking about that Leeds have is very threatening. But I think if Bolka is fit, because we are quite a slow back line, my concern really is maybe Matt Pearson. On that end. But if Bulker's in there, he can just kind of mop things up.
But who's going to drop out then if Bulker's fit and you want him in, and if Helic is fit and we want him in, it's then who are Town leaving out to accommodate them?
I'd probably drop Ryuta, although he put a really good assist. I think Brody Spencer's, I'd kind of argue, he's a bit undroppable at the moment. So I don't know. Pearson, you want that drive. Do you leave him out? Lees has been quite solid this season, and I think he's quite good to go. But yeah, I'm not sure Helic is going to be fit for this. So I'd probably swap Uta for Bolker, and you can always bring Uta on.
I think you'd be risky throwing Helic in this. He's not played in weeks. I think it's more sort of realistic. Bolka has been in and out. He's not actually had a consistent run yet since joining Town. He's been a bit unfortunate. But yeah, I could see him coming in. I wonder, though, if Brighton Reiter will be a bit similar to Darren Moore in the sense of he likes the balance of a left footer in the back three. And so that then plays into Uta's hands. So I'd be weighing all those things up. But yeah, I don't think Town can go in with a back three that they played at Watford against Leeds. I don't think it's mobile or athletic enough. And on transition, that's where Leeds will get a lot of joy, can hurt them, I think.
Great problem to have if we start getting all these players fit again. Because when you're listing those names out there, blooming heck, like going with this running, if we can get a fully fit squad, it builds your confidence so much more that Town are going to be all right. I think what, like Dom asking the question of who do you put up front, and I feel like we mentioned this when we played him away, but we didn't really have a striker that day, did we? I think Bergzorg came on.
Harrow,
yeah. And I think one point we kind of made was like, because they're quite a young kind of defence. I mean, they're very good defence, but I think if you throw someone, if Danny Ward does start, does he kind of do the old, he gets some old tricks in there, do you know what I mean? Pulling Ampadu's shorts down, that kind of thing. And I just think it'd be a really good, I think that kind of thing might work, get a bit of old school up them and, yeah, rattle them a bit maybe. And I coming off the back of those two goals, it might be great to give him 60 minutes start and then bring on Bergzorg and have, or do you know what I mean? I don't know which way works better. Do you have Bergzorg running rings around and just running at him for 60 minutes and then bring Danny Ward on, or do you have Danny Ward roughing him up for a bit and then bring the legs on?
Yeah, it's tricky. If he had to push me on it, I'm not sure Ward is, you know, I don't think he can stay, probably last 60 minutes. And I actually feel it's maybe better for him at this point to be a sub, because the spaces do happen. And Bergzorg is going to run at him, like you say. And I'd rather have him 60 minutes of Bergzorg running at him, if you were me. Thing is, as well, you know, you touched on it there, Dom, but Radulovic, like, yes, he was unused substitute. He had the illness as well, but I thought this during the whole game, if the game's kind of finally poised and we want to get balls in, or we've got an opportunity to chase the game, I chuck him on. I don't know. Like, you know, I know he's not really had a run and he's maybe been a bit unfortunate, but I kind of felt in that whole game, and that's not to criticise Worthy, but I felt it would have been good to play him, really, just to see what he can offer. He's something different. And yeah,
this is where the mystery is. We don't know yet what Brighton Reiter thinks of certain players, and yes, so we're only going to find this out over time. And so we don't know yet if he rates Radulovic and thinks he's got, you know, something to offer. Again, that goes back to the recruitment for me, of where you hope it's joined up, where Town, you know, brought the two strikers in, and that was sort of looking almost beyond Darren Moore, and that they genuinely do think that these two strikers are going to be big assets, you know, moving forward. So no, you're right. I mean, he could have a part to play at some point. And this is it. This is what Town didn't have a few weeks ago. Just didn't have the options. Where here we're talking about, you know, they could rotate, they could play different front two for Leeds if they wanted to, you know, in Radulovic and Ward. And they just didn't have this luxury at the beginning of the year, end of like Christmas, where it was just a constant struggle. Even at the beginning of the season with Hudlin and Harrit, you know, untried pups at this level, really. You know, and so they finally got the depth. I think overall, I'm with you though, Brady. I feel as if Wardy, I'd probably keep him on the bench. I just think that he's so unpredictable, is Bergzorg, that he's one of the few players Town have got that he can just make things happen on his own. Yeah. And he could have an absolute stinker for pretty much the whole match of the weekend. We wouldn't put it past him, would it? Yeah, would we? Because we've seen it before. But he could just have that moment of magic, and that could be enough to get Town a result.
Yeah. And some player, you talk about options, Ben Wiles as well. You know, another interesting player. I think he seems to be a bit better in recent games. So plenty of options. I think we're dancing around it, chaps, so we'll come on to it. Your match predictions. Tom, I'll let you do the honour of going first.
Town are going to win this game 2-1.
Wow. Okay.
Who are
you going for the scorers then?
I'll go with a... Leah, do you know what? Ben Wiles, yeah, totally. Like, how close was that shot he had against Watford? That nestled in top corners. Ben Wiles... I'd love him to get a goal. So, Ben Wiles and let's go Josh Cromer. Look, that is obviously not what I think the result will be. I think Town would I'd be very happy with a respectable kind of 2-1, maybe even 3-1 defeat. But as long as we see a performance in there, like as long as we see that kind of a bit of identity and a good performance.
Okay. I tell you what you should have said, Tom. 2-1. It's basically the game where Heffler gets the winner, but instead of Heffler getting the winner, it's Tom Edwards. Can you imagine?
What a redemption story.
That would be a redemption arc, wouldn't it? Could you imagine? Yeah. Tom Edwards, last minute winner.
I'm speaking it into existence. Dom, what are you thinking for this?
I think it is going to be tight. Do you know what? I think a lot of people will be rocking up on Saturday thinking that, you know, on paper, Leeds will walk it. I don't know. I think a few weeks ago, I do fear that it would have been a 3 or 4-0 hammering maybe coming Town's way. I feel as if Leeds will just edge it. I'd love to be proven wrong, but I think I'm going to go for Leeds 2-1. Bergsorg for Town. And that's it, yeah. If Town score first, then that will just put the cat amongst the pigeons. It really would. You know, that would set it up, actually, perfectly, if Town got an early goal and rattled them. And, yeah, like Tom was saying, that's what we want. I just think we want Town to show no fear and, go into it and just forget about the run they're on, concentrate on what they can control and then give the best possible account that they can of themselves.
Yeah, I was penciling it down. I keep coming past it, but I agree with your kind of reasoning there, Dom. I don't see this being the battering I kind of thought a few weeks ago. I have to say it feels like I'm copying you here. I wonder it's going to be a bit like the whole game. Like I think they might just have too much for us, and there's no shame in that if we put in a performance and it's a derby. I do think there's a lot of positives. You know, it's a first game. I think the crowd will be good and will be behind the team, and you know, that little bit of excitement. And if you can't get carried away in football, what's the point? But they are a good team. You know, I hate to say it, they're on an incredible run. That run has to end at some point. But I think you're right though, Dom. I'm going to be very interested in this FA Cup game. I think that might tell us quite a lot, and it's an early one.
I think they're looking at this FA Cup game thinking we can progress here. Chelsea have just played a cup final. Then they're a bit shaky for Chelsea. There's a chance they're on a run. Like they might go out and put out quite a strong side on Wednesday and really go for it. And that then might take a bit of legs out of them on Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah. No. I'm kind of thinking the same. And, you know, we saw what Middlesbrough did in the Carabao to Chelsea, you know, ended up losing quite heavily in the second leg, but put past them. So yeah, I'm going to go 2-1 then probably. But if we got a draw, if it was 1-1, that wouldn't surprise me. I feel like, you know, and that would be fantastic, I think, and a real kind of boost for motivating the team and the fans. But we will see.
Another draw, yeah. Brady. I thought we weren't allowed to draw anymore.
No, we're allowed to draw now. Now that Darren Drew's gone. Hey. He's not drawn at Port Vale, he's Australian, right? Poor bloke. Anyway, we will leave it there. Tom, thanks for joining me as always. Dom, thanks so much for coming on. Thanks to everyone who stuck with us in this one, and thanks to Magic Rock who sponsored this as always. Tom and I will be back to preview the next games. Probably going to do a double header with that midweek game, so look out for that. And we'll end it there. Ta-ta for now, and up the Town.
Ta-ta, play up. Bring the car. back to Huddersfield.
Lads, what's your favourite 90th minute goal?
Got to be Heffley against Leeds. A shot from Moy and sliding in at the death, Michael Heffley. Great finish to the game. Shared with my family, only made better by ordering McDonald's via McDelivery afterwards. 3 points, McNugget share box, spot on. Order McDelivery now via the McDonald's app. You in.
At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.